We're thankful that you're at the right place at the right time on the right day. It's good to see you this morning. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us from the pages of divine inspiration. Writing the Corinthians, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Surely you and I need to be aware that it's within the potential of each one of us to fall. A number of times within the pages of the prophecy of Hosea, reference is made to the fall of Israel. In Hosea 4 and verse 5, "Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night." In chapter 5 and verse 5, "Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them." Chapter 7 and verse 16, "Their princes shall fall by the sword." And in chapter 14 and in verse 1, it is recorded, "For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity." Throughout the 14 chapters that make up this book, Israel is lacking to several things. In chapter 4 and verse 16, as a backsliding heifer. In chapter 7, in verses 4, 6, and 7, as an oven. In chapter 7 and verse 8, a cake not turned. In chapter 7 and verse 11, like a silly dove. And in chapter 8 and in verse 8, as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. In chapter 8, verse 7, they were said to have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. What I'd like to do in this brief study is call attention to several things within this book that contributed to the fall of Israel. The first thing I bring to our attention is the fact that their fall was brought about by the fact that they forgot God. Can you imagine the Lord's people forgetting the Lord? They did. In Hosea chapter 2 and in verse 8, the Lord said of his people, "She did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold." She forgot from whence her blessings came. In verse 13, the Lord said, "I'll visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forgat me, saith the Lord." Several times within the pages of Hosea, it was mentioned that Israel had forgotten the Lord. Like in chapter 8 and verse 14, "For Israel hath forgotten his Maker." You know, the Bible affirms that God is our Maker. How that God formed man of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7, put him to sleep and brought a rib from his side, and with that he made a woman and brought her unto the man. You can read about that in Genesis 2:18 through 24. And Jesus in the book of Matthew 19 and verse 4 said, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning," the Lord's people, in the days of Hosea, had forgotten their Maker. And again in chapter 13 and verse 6, "They were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me." Numerous times in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord's people were warned about forgetting the Lord. As in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when emphasis was placed upon teaching your children. Remember, teach them diligently. When you sit, walk, lie down, and rise up. He talked about it in verse 10 when he would bring them into the land which he sware unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware of what? Lest thou forget the Lord. Again, in chapter 8, in verse 7, it is recorded, "The Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of all oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee." But then notice in verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord." One of the things that brought about the fall of Israel is they did not heed the warning because they forgot God. A second thing that contributed to their fall was a lack of knowledge. The people did not know. In the book of Hosea, in chapter 4, and verse 1, the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And in verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." A prophet that'll come on the scene after Hosea, Isaiah by name. If you'll turn over to the book of Isaiah for just a moment, in chapter 5 and in verse 13, notice what the messianic prophet will have to say. "Therefore my people are gone into captivity." Why is that? "Because they have no knowledge." You remember what they said to Amos, who we looked at just before this book, Hosea? When he had come to Israel and had prophesied, they said, "Go to Judah and prophesy there." What were they doing? They were rejecting knowledge. And just as God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, a lack of knowledge will cause us to fall today. That's why the Bible puts so much emphasis on knowledge. Like when Jesus said, "Go and learn what this meaneth." And provision has been made for teaching. In the book of Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." In Hebrews 5:12, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." And Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3 and 4, "God will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth." To know requires study. And Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God," 2 Timothy 2:15. To know requires reading. And Paul said, "Give attendance to reading," didn't he? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12 and 13. That takes some effort to know. How is our knowledge? They didn't know, and so they fail. A third thing that brought about their fall is they were like people, like priests. That is, the priesthood was corrupted. They weren't the influence that they should have been. In Hosea 4 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Like people, like priests, and I'll punish them for their ways and reward them their doings." When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, notice what was said about that in Deuteronomy 17, verses 10 and 11. "How that thou shalt do according to the sentence which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand nor to the left." Talking about the priest and their influence. And again, in the book of Deuteronomy, notice in chapter 33, verses 8 through 11, the role of the priest, how that it was said of Levi that let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove, and with whom thou didst strive, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren. And how that in verse 10, they shall teach. Who's that? The priest of Levi shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. One of the problems was that these people weren't doing what they should have been, and that had its effect upon the people, like priests. The people could not be expected to do any better than the priest did, and that brought about their fall. The Lord said, I'll punish them for their ways. A fourth thing that brought about their fall is the fact that they left off taking heed to the Lord and His Word. Notice that in Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 10, He said, they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. Why? Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. What did they leave off? Taking heed. You ought to read the book of Deuteronomy sometime and see how many times the Lord emphasized taking heed. They didn't do that. They left off. They forgot. That is, they were disobedient. And as a result of that, He said, they shall fall. Another thing, number 5, is the fact that they asked counsel from the wrong places. You know where they got their counsel? From their walking stick. You ever have a walking stick? Maybe a hike through the wilderness, through the back country, and you carry with you a little walking stick. Can you imagine not knowing where to go? You're kind of at a crossroads. Maybe the trail kind of splits and goes in two different directions, and you don't know which way to go, and so you got your walking stick, and you say, now, which way should I go? Wouldn't that be silly? Huh? That's what they were doing. Look at it. In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, and in verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks and their staff. You know what a staff is? It's a walking stick, declareth unto them. You'd think that people have enough sense to know that you can't ask your walking stick which way you should go, which path should I take, that you ask counsel of the Lord. But that's how far they had gotten away from the Lord. And that they'd ask a piece of wood. They'd put their trust in that piece of wood rather than asking counsel of the Lord. It's no wonder. Number of times in this book, the Lord said that His people were going to fall. But number 6, another thing that contributed to their fall is they framed not their doings to return. Think about that. Frame not their doings to return. Hosea chapter 5 and in verse 4. The Lord said that He knew Ephraim and Israel. They're not hid from me. What did He know about them? Look at verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. They had the spirit or the mindset that they were not going to turn to the Lord. That's why they fell. Frame not their doings to turn unto God. And they had been exhorted time and again to frame their doings in that direction. Take, for example, the message of Joel, who came on the scene and in chapter 2 and in verse 12 said, turn unto me, saith the Lord, with all your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. And they had a great motive for doing that. He is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And yet, even though these prophets appealed to them to turn, they framed not their doing to turn unto God. A seventh thing that brought about their fall, in one word, pride. Pride. was their downfall. Look at verse 5 of Hosea 5. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity, and Judah also shall fall with them. In chapter 7 and verse 10, it is said, the pride of Israel testifieth to his face, and they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. And then again in chapter 13 and verse 10, it is said, I will be thy king. Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities and thy judges, of whom thou saidst, give me a king and princes? Then when you back up to verse 6, it is said, they were filled and their heart was what? Exalted. And then down at verse 16, Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. You know why they fell? One reason is because of their pride. Their pride got in their way. And that's what Solomon had warned about in the Book of Wisdom back there during the period of the United Kingdom. In Proverbs 16 and verse 18, he said, pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before fall. That's why this book puts so much emphasis on humility. Like when the disciples were puffed up, and in the book of Matthew chapter 18, the Lord called a little child and set him in their midst and said, except to be converted and become as little children, you'll not enter into the kingdom. A little child has no idea about greatness. He didn't know he's great. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 5, Peter said, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pride contributed to their fall. I tell you a thing that brought about the fall of these people, and that is, they considered not that God was aware or knew of their iniquity. They didn't realize that. They thought God didn't remember that. Because in the book of Hosea chapter 7 and verse 2, it is said, they consider not in their hearts. What did they not think about? That I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. I wonder if sometimes we don't forget about that. If we don't consider the fact that God remembers, that he knows about our wickedness. You know, that's always been true, hasn't it? You go back to the beginning when the first sin was committed in Genesis chapter 3. Taking of the tree and eating and giving to her husband, and he ate. Did God know that? He surely did. As he said, where art thou? It's not because he didn't know, but he wanted them to be mindful of where they were. Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? He knew what they'd done. And because of that, there were some consequences that came. That was true also of the time of Jonah when he came on the scene to preach to the people of Nineveh. God knew what was going on. And he said through the prophet, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What does that tell us? All throughout the period of history, God knew of iniquity, but they didn't consider that. They didn't think about that. And when I consider the fact that God knows of my activities, it ought to cause me to do what's right in his sight. I'll tell you another thing that brought about their fall. When you look at Hosea chapter 8 this time, look at verse 4. Hosea 8 and verse 4. The Bible says, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. The ninth thing I suggest to you is the fact that they set up kings, but not by God. That is, they did not look to God and His will when they would set up a king. They had totally dismissed that, hadn't they? Hosea chapter 8 and verse 4. You know, God had some things to say about kings, didn't He? When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, He'd given instruction about that. He talked in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14. At a time when thou shalt say, I'll set a king over me. And the Lord said, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. You see, they weren't to just appoint anybody and everybody as king. But it was one whom God would choose. And there were some things that were said about him, that he was not to multiply horses to himself or cause the people to return to Egypt. He was not to multiply wives to himself, and he was not to multiply to himself silver and gold, and he was to have a copy of the law in a book that would be with him all his days, and he'd read it, that he might learn to fear, to keep, that his heart be not lifted up. What happened? They set up kings, but not by God. And that brought about their fall. But then again, from Hosea chapter 8, something was counted as strange. You remember what that was? They counted God's law strange. The book of God had become a strange book to the Lord's people. Hosea 8:12 says, I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Now you'd expect that if the book of God was people, they wouldn't have known. Like the people of Nineveh or the people of Edom. We've seen God's judgment against both of those nations through Jonah and through Obadiah. But you would think that if God's law was going to be familiar to anybody, it'd be familiar to the Lord's people. And yet it'd become a strange book. And it's no wonder it's strange, because they'd rejected knowledge. Whenever you'd say to a prophet, don't prophesy here, go down to Judah and prophesy. We don't want to know. It's not going to be very long, but what God's law will be strange to you. And that happens today. There may be those who would say to a preacher, because of the kind of preaching that he's been doing, preaching the truth and maybe touching on some things that they don't want to hear, they might think it's time for a change. We need to get somebody else. And there's a period of time that goes by when they don't hear some things that need to be talked about, and there's some things being left out of sermons, and so somebody comes along and points out something the Bible says and they've not heard it. It's strange to them. That happens today. And this book has become a foreign book in our society. Most people couldn't tell you where the books of the Bible are. You might give them a book, ask them to find it. Where's the book of Acts, and they'll be looking in the Old Testament. Or you call out the name of turn to the book of Jeroboam, and they think it's in there. They try to find it when it's not even in there. They don't know what's in there and what's not. And if we can't even find the books, we don't know which book's in here and which is not in here, we probably don't know what's in the books. Right? And so God's creating all things in the beginning. In the beginning God created, Genesis 1:1, and that took place over 6 days. People don't know about that. That's strange. Because in our universities, they're being told that it was a big bang that kick-started everything, and through a process of evolution, we're here tonight, right? No, it don't work. Well, the problem is that's strange. And you could talk about lots of other things that are strange, like God's marriage law and the fact that there's one church and its name and its work and its worship and its organization. That's all counted as strange, isn't it? To a lot of people. It's not a new thing. That happened to the people of Israel. And it was one thing that brought about their fall. I tell you another thing, number 11, that brought about their fall. And that is the fact that there were abominations as they loved. They loved the practice of sin. That's what got them into trouble. Notice that. In Hosea chapter 9 and verse 10, he said, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But
what?
They went to Baal-peor and separated themselves under that shame. That's the shame of idolatry. And their abominations were according as they loved. They loved the practice of sin. When you think about Baal, you see those high places. And that was introduced during the latter days of Solomon in his old age. He had married all these strange women, and they turned his heart away, and he made these high places for places of worship for their gods. And remember Jeroboam, when he came on the scene, and he said, it's too much to go to Jerusalem to worship. And so he went to Dan and set up a golden calf there, and he set one at Bethel. So they'd go to Dan or to Bethel to worship. And there were high places, and he made priests the lowest of the people. And you've got king after king after king after king of Israel that followed in the sins of Jeroboam. They had all these abominations, these idols that they loved, that had their loyalty. And so as a result of that, in verse 11, the Lord said, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. They were going to fall because their abominations were according as they loved. Another thing that brought about their fall. Let's look at another chapter. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. My God will cast them away. Why are they going to be cast away? Because they did not hearken. Do you see why they fell? They did not hearken. You know, that's been a long problem, hasn't it? Of not hearkening. And it's not that they weren't warned about that. Go back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Notice he said in verse 3, if you will walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will. But then in verse 14, he switches horses. He says, if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, I also will do this. They'd been warned, hadn't they? Deuteronomy also points out that same thing. What would happen if they didn't hearken? But generations later, they're going to fall. Why? Because they did not hearken unto him. Hosea 9 and verse 17. And the Bible says they shall be wanderers among the nations. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be taken out of the land. They're going to be taken to a foreign place where they're going to wander. Why? Because they didn't hearken unto God. What does that tell me? It tells me I need to hearken. I need to hear. I need to believe and I need to obey. That's true today. Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey. Hebrews 5 and in verse 9. But then from chapter 10 and verse 2, another reason why they fail. The Bible says their heart, what about their heart? Is divided. They had a divided heart. You know, their heart to be loyal to the Lord is to be a single heart. But they're called in verse 1 of chapter 10 an empty vine. Bringeth forth fruit unto himself, according to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. I'll circle the altars. They just had one altar. Remember, Hezekiah is going to come along and he's going to get the people to worship before one altar. That altar was in Jerusalem. But they increased altars. And according to the goodness of his land, they had made goodly images. Remember in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, they were not to make any images, they made images. And so their heart is divided. How's it divided? Well, they've got mixed loyalties. They've got these other allegiances. In the day of Joshua, they had a problem with that. Joshua 24, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he appealed to them, serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And they had to put away these false gods in order to do that. Their heart was divided between God and these other gods. And that happened during this same divided kingdom period. Remember the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? As Elijah asked. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal followed him, they didn't answer, and it was demonstrated very vividly on that occasion just who the Lord is. How that God answered by fire, remember that? Remember how they were trying to call upon Baal, the prophets of Baal? They did that from morning to night, and they were cutting themselves and throwing themselves on the altar. And Elijah said, maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's asleep. Wake him up. And they took precautions to avoid any ground of suspicion, to eliminate any doubt. Remember all the water was poured over the sacrifice, the burnt offering? Filled the trench with water. He called upon God one time. Not from morning till night and multiple times, just one time. Called upon God and he answered. Here came the fire and consumed it. Consumed all the water. What does that tell you? Who the Lord is. But their heart was divided. And we've got that same problem today, don't we? We've got people who are not here today who should be because of a divided heart. And that's sad. The Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, and in verse 33. I'll tell you another reason why they fail. But they refuse to return. They refuse to return. Look at that. Hosea 11, and in verse 5. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king. Why? Because they refused to return. The Lord tried multiple times to get his people to return. Turn around. Turn to me. But they refused. They were stubborn. They were stiff-necked. They weren't going to do it. It didn't make any difference. What these men of God had to say, they weren't going to do any different, were they? They refused to return. One other thing I want to point out. Number 15. 15 reasons within the book of Hosea why Israel fell. They were, you know how they were bent? If I were to give you this marker and you were to put up this last word on the board, what word would you put here? To backsliding. Is that the word you'd have put? Probably would have. As familiar as we are with this. Hosea 11 and verse 7. My people are bent to backsliding from me. You ought to highlight that. Bent to backsliding. In fact, earlier in chapter 4 and verse 16, you remember what he said about them? Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Backsliding. You ever see a heifer backslide? The Lord is wanting his people to go forward. That's always been his plea. When they came to the Jordan, remember that? In the book of Joshua, he said, speak to them that they go forward. You don't want his people to go backward. And I suggest to us that we're either going forward or we're going backward. And their problem, one of them, is they're bent to backsliding. They're going backward instead of forward. It's no wonder then that through the prophet, time and again in this book, he said, you're going to fall, you're going to fall, you're going to fall. Why? They forgot God. They forgot their Maker. They had a lack of knowledge. They rejected knowledge. They said to the prophet, go prophesy somewhere else. Because of the corruption of the priesthood, they lack people like priests. They left off taking heed to the Lord. They asked counsel of their walking stick, which way should I go? Instead of asking of the Lord. They framed not their doings to turn to the Lord. Their pride, their heart was lifted up. They didn't consider that God knew of their iniquity. Remember in the days of Noah, God saw the wickedness. They forgot about all that, didn't they? They set up kings, but not by God. God had a standard. He had his will, his way. They didn't follow that. They counted God's law as strange. That's a strange thing. Things that ought to be familiar to us as the Lord's people were foreign. They hadn't heard of it. Didn't know that was in there. Their abominations were as they loved. They loved the practice of sin. If they wanted to do it, they did it. It's kind of like Jeremiah say, my people love to have it so. They didn't hearken. Their heart was divided. That's not talking about this heart. Their blood, it's not that it was divided in half. But spiritually, their heart, their loyalty, their allegiance was divided. They refused to return. They were bent to backsliding. 15 things that brought about their fall. And remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him that thinketh he standeth, what's the rest of that? Take heed lest he fall. If they fail, you think about all the Lord had done for them. Brought them out of Egypt. Brought them into the good land. They didn't lack anything. Look at all he had done for them. You might think, well, surely people like that. Look at how bad they had it in Egypt. How good they had it in the land. They're not going to fall. They did, didn't they? And if they could fall, surely you and I could as well. So we need to be on guard, because these things that brought about their fall have caused folks today to fall, and they can cause any one of us to fall. That's why the book of Hebrews is filled with warnings, and even taking lessons from these Old Testament events, and says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There may be those in our assembly today who've not yet obeyed the gospel. Or maybe you have, but you've not been what you ought to be. Maybe you look at this list and you begin to compare yourself with these people. Maybe you see some things that, well, about forgetting God. Remember when that would happen? When they were prosperous and they had plenty. We're pretty blessed in this nation, aren't we? And if we're not careful, we can become self-sufficient, we think. We rely upon ourselves. We don't need anybody or anything, or any, especially God, people think. And maybe some of these other things. But you know, God held out hope for his people. There was a door of hope. In Hosea 2, in verse 15, he said, I'll give her vineyards and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. You know, there was a song of redemption on their lips when they came out of Egypt. They were singing. And that could be restored. That door of hope was open, because in this book he appealed to them to turn and to return. In Hosea 6 and 1, come, let us return unto the Lord. He will heal us. He will bind us up. In chapter 10 and verse 12, remember, break up your fallow ground. And then in chapter 14, the book closes with this appeal, return unto the Lord, verse 1. Turn to the Lord, verse 2. And it's looking for a wise and understanding, prudent person in verse 9. Who is wise? He shall understand these things. Prudent, he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. It's always been true that the Lord's way is right. Would you be willing to walk that way? Take up your cross and follow after the Lord. Maybe you've done that, but you've not been what you ought to be. Maybe your heart's been divided. Why don't you serve the Lord with a single heart in sincerity and in truth? Repent of whatever it is that's